Gorgor, it's been a long day in hell.
It sure has, Lucy.
And I'm glad to have this stiff drink here.
Same here. So, what did the boss have you working on today?
Well, you know, the same thing we do every day. We get out there, we try to kill the helmet guy, we die, and we come right back.
Yeah, it just doesn't work, does it?
Oh, it's like, so tiring, you know?
I've run out of ideas. I tried throwing the fireballs, and then I tried jumping around.
Yeah, I tried my jump earthquake thing. That usually works every time.
How many times has it worked?
Almost every time, except for this time.
Except for this one
except
time.
Except today, all day today.
So you normally get them with it, but just not today.
I don't know if we can beat this one, Gorgor.
Whatever you say, Lucy.
Psych. I'm not Lucy. I'm Nikki.
And I'm not Gorgor. I'm Eric.
Although, Gorgor is a pretty sweet name, if I do say so
myself. I agree, yeah. That's a great name.
Anyways, welcome to Press Any Button. And today, we're going to be talking about Doom 2016. We have to say that because there's multiple games just named Doom.
Yeah, okay? Can't just call it Doom because Doom was already a thing.
Doom 2016 is a first-person shooter developed by id Software and published by Bethesda. The game is the first major installment in the Doom series since 2004's Doom 3 and is a reboot of the franchise. It was released for PlayStation 4, Windows, and Xbox One in May 2016. Obviously. Players take the role of a space marine known as the Doom Slayer as he battles demonic forces within an energy mining facility on Mars.
Yep.
And in hell.
Both.
Don't
both
forget
places.
The in hell part because
you definitely go to hell. Yeah. Yeah.
And happy October, everyone.
Yeah.
It is officially spooky season. And you know what that means. All things scary and spooky.
Nice. You know, I never quite thought of Doom as like a horror game or a scary game.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though you're exclusively killing demons, basically.
Yeah, but you're doing it, you're killing demons to like metal, and I don't know, the metal makes it less scary. It's like, yeah, I'm rocking out and killing demons. You know, I'm not scared because I got metal on.
I will say this game isn't like as horror movie-ish or anything as like other games that we've played during spooky season, but you are in hell for most of this game. You're fighting demons and, you know, it's a little creepy.
Yeah.
Like, if you were there for reals, like if that was you in the game for real,
yeah,
I would
be horrifying.
Horrified
yeah.
and terrified out of my mind.
And the game is definitely gory, so it's like,
oh yeah,
there's blood and guts everywhere. So
yes,
if you're squeamish about that kind of thing and if you find that scary, then yes, it's a pretty scary game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really think there's a need for a spoiler, but I mean, the
you
story.
You haven't played this game in like, what, 9 years?
Yeah, it's like the story is fine. It's just not like reliant on the story. It's more about the gameplay and the mechanics and stuff like that.
That's true. I don't think people usually are going to Doom for the super deep story, you know? Yeah.
I feel like the history is an interesting story.
Ooh,
and we'll get into
awesome.
That here in a minute.
Cool. But yeah, like we said, October, spooky season, scary season, and we're covering Doom. And it takes place mostly in hell.
All right.
So let's get into it. Ah!
So we're going all the way back to 2004, which is pretty crazy.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
So id Software was coming off the success of Doom 3 and had started working on their next game, which was called Rage.
Nice.
So just to set the scene. So like Doom 3 was a pretty good hit. Like it reviewed well, people liked it, it mm-hmm. sold well. So
which one did we play last time?
We played a mod of the original Doom called Brutal Doom.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes. I remember now.
Yeah.
So we have not. Have you played Doom 3?
No, I haven't. I actually haven't played Doom 3.
Me
I haven't
either.
Really played Doom 2 either. But yeah, Doom 3 was a hit. Like after Doom 2, like they started making like Quake and some of those games. So they kind of like got away from Doom for a while, and then they came back with Doom 3.
Then,
yeah, and then we're getting into this doldrums where you'll hear what happens.
Okay.
So for the next 3 years, it would unsuccessfully try to license the Doom franchise to another developer. And then
interesting.
Yeah, so they were trying to license it out because they had successfully licensed out Castle Wolfenstein to a third party, and that was like a pretty big success.
Okay. So they just didn't want to make the games anymore?
No. It's not that they didn't want to make the game. They're just like, I think they were looking for maybe an easier way to do it where it's like they could have another party do it and still, you know, get credit for the license or get paid for the license.
All right.
So I'm not really sure, but they were unsuccessful in having someone else do it. So after 3 years, they're just like, okay, whatever. We'll just make a game ourselves.
Fine.
Yeah. And so they started development in 2007. So you can still, that's like nine years before it was released.
Yeah.
At the time, it only had about 19 employees or so and was struggling with simultaneously developing Rage and Doom 4.
So that's probably why they were trying to get someone else to do it.
Yeah.
They didn't really have enough people.
Yeah, and they were working on a new IP called Rage.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so in 2008, they kind of unofficially announced Doom 4 by posting a job listing on their website saying that they're hiring for a project called like Doom 4. And
yeah.
It was like, okay, yeah, this is kind of an announcement.
I have learned. Yes, that's a very good way to find out sometimes if a game's coming out or not. But also sometimes they put fake game names on there to like throw people off.
Yeah, it's true. It's like, it's not really Doom 4. We're getting you on the Rage staff. Mm-hmm. So in 2009, it was bought by Bethesda's parent company, ZeniMax.
Okay.
So now id and Bethesda are kind of under the same umbrella.
Why does Bethesda sound familiar?
Bethesda does the Skyrim games. They actually have quite a few franchises.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about them a few times before.
They're a major developer, and they have some great games. And then ZeniMax helped them kind of organize into two separate teams, one for Rage and Doom 4. That way it wasn't like quite so overwhelming to try to be working on both those games at the same time.
Yeah, for sure.
So that same year, CEO Todd Hollinshead was asked whether Doom 4 would be a sequel to Doom 3 or a reboot of the franchise, to which he stated it would be neither.
Ooh, what?
The game was going to be a new take on Doom based off of Doom 2, which would be set on Earth and would be about the global impact of a hellish invasion. Does that sound like the game we played? Do you think?
No.
So yeah, the 2016 game was obviously a reboot, like of the original Doom. Like it takes place in the same setting as the original Doom. It takes place on Mars.
Yeah.
Definitely not on Earth, and definitely not the global impact of that invasion because everything is on Mars and then hell. So yeah, he's describing a pretty different game from what we played.
So some stuff happened, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So the team also revealed that Doom 4 would be heavily influenced by the Call of Duty franchise and would include a regenerating health bar and an emphasis on using cover to protect the player. So again, we're like, in the game we played, no regenerating health bar, and you're definitely not really using
cover at all.
Yeah, you're mostly being aggressive. So again, that doesn't quite sound like what we played. And around this time, many fans started to deride the game, calling it Call of Doom, which I thought was pretty funny.
That is funny. So people are not excited about this.
Yeah, it's
basically.
They're maybe trying to borrow a little bit too much from one franchise, and it starting to not really sound like a Doom game at that point.
And Doom came out a long time ago, right?
Yeah, I want to say like 1990 something.
So way before Call of Duty, correct?
Well, the early Call of Duty games go back, I think, to the late 90s too.
Dang. So I wonder why they wanted to pull from the Call of Duty series.
I think it was because it was hot at the time.
Okay.
Like it was kind of blowing up the charts. It was selling well. They were doing a release every year. People were like, oh yeah, like these are the things that people want, like a regenerating health bar and like...
Yeah. I can see that. So just trying to keep up with the times, I guess.
Yeah, keeping up with trends.
Trying to make it fresh.
Yeah, and I mean...
Like there's a balance between keeping it fresh and like staying true to the franchise though too. Because at this point, people know Doom and they... it has a reputation of what to expect.
And I'm kind of deriding it a little bit, but it does sound like, honestly, it does sound kind of cool. Like the demon invasion of Earth does sound pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, okay. So in 2011, Rage was released to mixed reviews, and it had, and Bethesda decided to restart development on Doom 4, feeling that it had fallen too far out of touch with the franchise.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So they kind of agreed with us, I guess.
Yeah.
On April 3rd, 2013, Kotaku published an expose that described Doom 4 as being trapped in developmental hell and allegedly mismanaged.
Uh-oh.
So Marty Stratton, Doom's director, described the period between 2011 and 2013 as a rolling reboot. This period contained numerous departures from id, such as Hollinshead and company co-founder John Carmack. So a lot of the kind of the people who had been there for a long time just kind of left. I don't know if it was kind of like a mutual leaving, like, hey, we can't get on the same page with this game and we're just going to go work somewhere else, or if it was something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in 2014, Bethesda announced that Doom 4 would be renamed to Doom and that it would be a series reboot. Stratton used the original Doom as a template and abandoned the slower pace and survival horror themes of Doom 3. So yeah, I hadn't played Doom 3, but I guess they went the more survival horror route with that game.
Yeah. So they were planning for it to be Doom 4 for a long time.
Yeah.
Until basically 2 years before it came out.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
They're like, we got to pivot. We have to pivot, everyone. Pivot!
It might have been like just too many ideas coming in, and it was just not working or not meshing together into anything coherent that made sense. I know that can definitely happen. Like an example of like too many cooks in the kitchen or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean they really created this game in like 2 years?
Two or three, probably. Yeah. I mean, it was stuck in development hell for a long time, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Hey, at least it came out.
Yeah. So.
Well, did it really? Because you are in hell most of the time.
Yeah, I guess you are technically in hell, so development hell.
Maybe they were
hell.
Just inspired by their situation. Yeah. You know, it like took a toll on the game.
So development of Doom focused on refining its combat, dubbed push-forward combat. The glory kill mechanic and chainsaw were used to incentivize player aggression and restoring health and resources. And the stage layout and the enemies were designed to encourage movement.
Yeah.
So do you get that?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. The story was actually one of the last elements in the game to be implemented.
Huh, I'm shocked.
They aimed for like a lighter story, you know, something that wouldn't really get in the way of the gameplay.
Yeah.
That was more kind of self-aware and inspired by movies such as RoboCop, Evil Dead 2, and The Last Boy Scout.
Nice.
Yeah.
I could see that.
So the soundtrack was composed by Australian composer Mick Gordon, who was told not to use guitars or write a metal score for the game.
What?
Yeah, that's what I said when I read that. They thought it would come off as too corny.
Okay, well, that didn't happen.
Yeah, after months of just using synthesizers, Gordon eventually convinced them to let him start using guitars, and they relented. So... yeah, I get not wanting to lean too heavily into like one genre, but like no metal and no guitars just doesn't make sense for Doom to me.
No.
And I'm glad they, you know, eventually did add metal and stuff to it.
Oh, for sure.
Because there are definitely metal tracks in there in that soundtrack.
Yeah. It's all pretty heavy
metal
sounding to me.
So Doom was released in 2016 to generally positive reviews and would go on to sell 2 million copies in a little more than a year. The main source of criticism was with the game's multiplayer not being developed enough and being underwhelming. So those are usually what it got pinged for when it got reviewed.
And we weren't able to play multiplayer because it's too old at this point. We tried to get into some matches and games, and it kind of would let you in, but then nothing else would happen. Like it would never actually start.
I don't think there were enough active players when we tried to play.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that the servers still even works for you to log in on. But anyways, we didn't get to play the multiplayer mode, so we don't know about that.
But yeah, so that's my history.
Cool.
I got some.
It went through a lot.
Yeah.
This
so
game to come
it
out.
It sounds like it went through basically a whole different game before it got to what we ended up getting, and what we ended up getting was pretty good.
I think so too.
So I got three fun facts for you.
All right.
I like this first one. I think this is going to blow your mind.
Oh gosh.
So every stage in the game contains a hidden lever. When activated, it will reveal a secret zone and a classic level will be unlocked to play in the main menu. So basically you have 13 levels in the game and then you can unlock 13 classic levels by pulling this lever in each stage.
Jaw dropped. What?
So they basically...
I was thoroughly, like, after you told me that there's, like, these secrets and stuff you can find.
Yeah.
I was trying to be so thorough with trying to look everywhere, explore everything. I did not find one freaking lever.
The levers were very hard to find. Like, I only found a few.
Are they, like, camouflaged in? Are they...
They're not in obvious spaces, so... And I don't think you get the little vibration when you're near one. I don't know.
Like
you'll get one for the room, but you won't get one for the lever.
Yeah.
And the lever could be in a totally different space.
Like, when you found, like, where did you find one of them? Can you just kind of...
When I played through the whole game, I found exactly one.
On your own?
And I didn't realize it unlocked a whole stage on the main menu until I went back later.
Okay.
And until I actually read the fun fact.
So where was it?
I forget the one I found within the game. I went back to the first level, just I was trying to find everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I did find it, and it was like... I found the door and it took me a long time. I actually had to look up where the lever was.
Wow.
To find it. Like, I looked everywhere for that freaking lever. But the levers are very well hidden. So
I don't want you to find it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised you didn't find them, but like they're there. And I'll go into the classic levels. I kinda wish they'd done a little bit more with it, but you know. It's still really cool to see the classic levels unlocked. Yeah, it's almost like you get to...
That is crazy. I did not find one of those.
It's almost like you get a whole nother game within the game.
For sure.
All right. So fun fact number two, many of the demon enemies do not like each other and will start fighting with one another if they get in each other's way.
That's funny.
Did you notice that?
I kind of did actually a little bit, but I thought it was, I didn't pay that much attention to it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're trying to kill like 15 other things.
And you're constantly running away and shooting and like running forward or whatever.
But I think I kind of did notice that a little bit, but I didn't pay that much attention to it. But do they actually start fighting each other or they just kind of push each other out of the way?
No, they fight each other.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't really see it much because like I said, you're running around with like a chicken with its head cut off or something most of the game.
It was mostly like, you know, those really fat guys, like those really creepy, like bald guys with they usually have a bunch of armor on, and the I don't know what you would call it, demon flying skeleton skinny thing with long legs.
Oh yeah.
With the jetpack.
The revenant or whatever.
Those things would always get in the same area, I feel like, and I would see them like interact a little bit, but I didn't watch long enough to like actually see them fire anything.
It's like you're never really looking at one long enough to like really see what it's doing.
Yeah, but that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. All right, and fun fact number three. So the main villain of the game, Olivia Pierce, in her office in the Lazarus Labs, her computer has a video game called Demon Destruction that can be interacted with and played. On the highest scoreboard, it shows Olivia with the second highest score of 9,261,000.
The second highest score?
Yeah.
Who has the top highest score?
I do not know. I actually didn't even find that game, so I didn't get a chance to play it. But yeah, there's another game within the game.
Yeah.
Lots of games within games.
This game definitely has a lot of replayability if you want to try to find all the little...
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I missed
a ton of stuff, even trying really hard to find stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's my fun facts.
Cool.
So that's all done.
Good job.
Thanks. I know the story is kind of, there's not much of it, but I still kind of want to touch on it, if that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do a brief overview.
Yeah, okay. So basically, humans are using hell as a power source to solve their energy crisis.
Genius.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
Which, you know, given what we know about people, like, this sounds about right.
Yeah.
So one of the main researchers studying hell, Olivia Pierce, discovers she has a terminal illness. So she decides to make a deal with the demon lord to not just cure her illness, but to receive godlike powers. She's also
win-win.
Like, yeah, you know. It sounds like it's not something a reasonable person would do. You could also, it also like hints that maybe she had gone insane, like studying hell or studying a certain artifact of hell,
mm-hmm.
something like that. But anyway, So she starts a demon worshiping cult within the UAC, which is the company that's harvesting the energy. And then her demon cult people start opening up portals to hell. And of course, there's an invasion.
Right.
So that, and that's kind of where you start off with, like, pretty much everyone is dead or turned into a demon at that point. So the person you're directly, like, who's navigating you through all this stuff is the UAC chairman, Samuel Hayden, who is a seraphim who was disguised as a human for a while before putting his brain into a robot body. Did you catch all that?
No, I did not get all that.
So he was a seraphim.
What's a seraphim?
It's like a celestial being or something. Okay. Some kind of celestial being.
Oh, yeah.
So he disguised himself as a human for a while. Then he was about to die, so he put his brain into a robot body.
Yes.
And that's who you're interacting with through that, through the game.
Yeah. I like the design of his robot body.
Yeah, he looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you use a crucible to destroy the energy source powering the portals between hell and Mars. Olivia realizes, surprise, surprise, that she was being used as a pawn the whole time and gets turned into the spider thingy. Once you beat her, Hayden...
A spider thingy? Yeah. Yeah, that's one way to put it.
It's called the Spider Mastermind is the name of the boss. But
yeah, I can see that. It's like a...
Giant brain.
Yeah, creepy brain. Legs. Spider.
So once you beat her, Hayden brings you back to Mars and steals the crucible while insisting that his research must continue because people still need energy. So in other words, he's probably going to open another portal to hell and start harvesting more energy, which how they're getting energy from hell, they never quite explain what the process was.
Don't question it, okay? It just works.
Somehow hell is powering all of our
stuff. We can't get energy from heaven, I guess.
I mean,
that would probably be nicer, you would think.
Less danger maybe, but you or maybe hope. Or maybe more danger.
Maybe more danger.
Yeah.
I mean, like Lucifer was an angel at one point, like if you read the Bible. Wow. I believe, yeah. So anyways.
So yeah, that's the story. The story was okay. Like I said, it's guiding you from point A to point B. Beyond that, like, there's some interesting bits. Like, I thought the Hayden guy was pretty cool.
Yeah. And his voice sounds like the guy from Saw, so that kind of makes it creepy.
Yeah, he had a pretty cool voice for that. I liked it when, like, the Doom guy, like, just breaks all his energy stuff and be like, you know, that took his years to, like... hundreds of years to develop, and he just like destroys
and you're like,
it all.
I destroy things.
Yeah. Doomslayer doesn't say anything because he doesn't talk.
Well, yeah, just on the internally, he's like, I destroy things.
Yeah. I'm just going to break all this shit.
Yeah, it is weird that you never hear yourself talk in the whole game.
Yeah. You kind of like that. The silent protagonist, where it's like you can kind of just insert whatever you want into what he's probably saying or feeling.
You can self project.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, so pros, what did you like about this game, Nikki?
Yeah, I first and foremost really like the music for this game.
Yeah.
It like sets the tone, sets the vibes. Like you are rocking out and you are, you know, killing things.
Yeah.
Raging.
And the contrast between like when you're like in the chill mode and you're kind of exploring, and then when you get into like an arena where like all these demons summon in, like when that music hits, it's just like, oh man, it's like,
you're like, it's time to go. Yeah,
time to go. Let's do this. Yeah.
And I do like when games give you like music cues too. So it's like when, once you've killed all of the enemies and stuff, the music kind of changes. So, you know, okay, I did it.
Yeah. It's especially noticeable when it glitches out and it doesn't change, or you missed an enemy or whatever. And it's why isn't this going back to the, like, I killed everything.
Well,
it's
that's
like...
the thing. Cause sometimes you'll have one random straggler just out there and you're like, oh, I gotta find this one last guy and kill him. But they didn't. I'm glad they let him eventually use like guitars and stuff.
And
I can't
metal
really,
riffs, because I'm like,
I can't imagine it.
What
any
would
other way?
What would a Doom game be without some like iconic? It's like iconic to the franchise. I feel like to have some metal in it.
Yeah.
All right.
What's something that you like?
So I feel like the push forward mechanics are really, they work really well in the game once you get used to them. So like because the glory killed demons like drop health, that causes you to keep moving towards the enemies you're shooting because you want to glory kill them so you can get health from them.
Oh yeah.
So it makes it like fast paced, and then you're getting shot at the whole time, so you're having to constantly move anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're constantly moving towards enemies and stuff. Like, it just works really well once you get used to it.
Yeah.
But it does, like, it is like kind of antithetical to a way I like to play shooters, which is like hiding and like peeking out and shooting.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a little while for me to kind of get used to it, but it is fun once you get used to it.
Yeah, like it keeps everything pretty action packed.
Yeah.
Like, you do have a few down times, but not that many. Like, I feel like if you're playing this and you're liking it, it's like, yeah, you just want to like kill some shit, you know?
Yeah.
You want to rage out.
Pretty much, yeah.
There's other games if you want to be cozy, and I'm playing both at one time right now. So.
Yeah. I thought you'd like that with since you're doing Coral Island, because you'd have the chill, cozy gaming, and then like
opposite of cozy gaming is, that's what Doom is, I think.
Yeah. So what's something else that you liked?
So I think the weapons in this game are really cool. You get like so many different weapons, and like the chainsaw is pretty awesome. You get a GFB, right?
GFB, a BFG.
Oh, BFG. My bad. Whatever, a big fucking gun, right?
What does GFB stand for?
GFB, giant fucking...
giant fuck buddy.
No. Oh my god.
Never mind, we'll get that.
That's a different game. That's like when you get to romance all the demons in hell. But yeah, and I like how the different... Like, there's pretty much for each type of demon that you're fighting, there's a weapon that kind of works best for that demon.
Yeah.
So once you play and you're learning that, like, you're like, oh, crap, there's these floating eyeball things. Let me get my missile out.
Yeah.
I
felt the rocket launcher worked really well for those guys.
Yeah.
I would try to, like, the shotgun was kind of one of the weaker guns, so I try to use those on, like, kind of the...
Pawns?
Yeah, the...
The weak links.
Yeah,
the weak demons.
The kind of weaker demons.
That's kind of what I would do, just run around and get as close as I could so I can try to shoot, kill them with one shot.
Yeah.
And then I would use the other weapons for other demons. But once you get that power up with the explosion and stuff, that kind of makes the shotgun more useful towards other types of demons,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that grenade launch mm-hmm. that you can do is really helpful.
Yeah, and I like all the power-ups that you can get for the weapons also.
Yeah, the Berserk, man, that Berserk is really fun because you can go around and temporarily, like, one-shot every demon.
Yeah.
So you can take some of those big guys and you can just, like, tear through them.
Rip them apart, basically.
Yeah, that's great. What's frustrating, though, is when you play in an entire arena and then you find it and you're like, oh, man, I missed this Berserk mode. That would have been so helpful,
like,
2 minutes ago.
And then I would still end up getting it, and then I'm, like, trying to explore, and it's like, oh, why did I do that?
Yeah.
What's something else you like?
So, I thought the secrets and unlockables were pretty great. Like, you had the little dolls that you would collect, and then you had the extra stages. And going back, the classic stages were okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like instead of, like, tying like one specific secret into one specific map, it would have been cool if they just unlocked an order and you could basically just play it as a campaign instead.
Gotcha.
It's just like a random map from like a random Doom game, it felt like.
Yeah.
And some of them were pretty short, so it was like you'd play through it in like 2 minutes and then it didn't necessarily progress the items and stuff, so
mm-hmm.
it would have been cool to see it as an actual progression instead of just one-off single levels.
Gotcha. Yeah, I feel like this game really encourages you to explore, like, every nook and cranny.
Yeah.
And to, like, look up, look down, see if there's stuff that you can jump on. Because there might be something hidden up there. Or, like, a ledge. Sometimes you'll think you're floating in space or something. And, like, because you'll look down at the edge and it's like, yeah, you're going to fall forever. But sometimes if you look over the edge and down, there'll be like a little area for you to drop down to that you may not see unless you get like to the very edge and look down. So I don't know. The maps are like pretty cool. Like there's usually a bunch of different levels in the maps areas too. So you have like a lower level, a mid level, and an upper level. So there's just like a lot to explore.
Yeah, and then there's also platforming within the game too, which kind of adds to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you have a double jump, you can grab ledges and stuff.
Yeah.
So Yeah,
that was fun. That can be a little tricky at first, but yeah, it's not too bad.
Just getting used to how he grabs the ledge, because it's like you have to have him lined up in a certain way for him to grab the ledge. It's like you have to have it like parallel to your screen or something. Otherwise, he might just not decide not to grab it.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Yeah. But like for me overall, I think like it just does a really good job of modernizing the classic without losing its identity.
Yeah, that's what I, that was mine too. Well, I was
the
like,
exact same line?
Oh, not exactly, but it was like you get what you're expecting with the Doom franchise when you play this. Like you're not going to be disappointed. You're going to be satisfied.
Yeah, I agree. Any other pros?
That's all I got so far. Well, that's all I got, you know, right now.
Okay. So far, are we gonna do another version of this podcast later?
Well, no, but I might play through again because I did miss out on a lot of stuff the first time.
Yeah.
But you know, I'll play more pros, but we won't. It'll be too late because we already recorded this. So. I actually don't have too many cons for this game. Only a couple. What about you?
Yeah, just a few.
Yeah. So one of my main ones, and you know, this might just be me because sometimes, you know, I'm dumb when it comes to video games, is like I thought it was kind of easy to get like lost sometimes or get turned around. Like some of the areas look similar.
Some parts get very mazy where it's like it's not quite clear where you're supposed to go.
And you do have a map, which I'll be real, I didn't really use it that much. I should have, because I was using it later in the game. I was like, dang, this is actually pretty helpful. But so yeah, that's why I'm saying it could just be me, because I didn't really use the map as much as I could have. But I did feel like, yeah, some parts just look the same. And so you're like, have I been to this area before?
Yeah.
Or haven't I?
Yeah, I kind of got that too. And you had a compass that kind of told you where to go, but it told you the direction of your objective, but it didn't really like tell you how to get there.
Well, yeah, so sometimes it would be like, go this way. And it's like, there's a wall right here. You have to figure out, okay, well, if they really mean go up in that way or down in that way, but
yeah, exactly.
But it's fine. It's really not that big of a deal.
It's not that bad. I feel like the design of the map system could have been a little bit better, but that's just me. I think they wanted to make it a little bit mazy on purpose. So for me, like my biggest con is just like occasionally the music would like cut out for no reason. Like not just the music, like all the sound of the game. It was weird. It'd be like
that happened to me once too.
You're playing, and then all of a sudden it's like someone muted the game.
Yeah.
And it's like it kinda is a little bit creepy because it's like not something you did yourself.
Yeah, so you're like, did I accidentally sit on the remote and mute the sound? But once I saved and then started over, it fixed. So
yeah, I think only happened once to you, that's fine. It happened like maybe three times to me, I think.
Oh, wow.
So, and it was on one specific level for some reason. I don't know.
Like
what
towards
was going
the
on.
End?
Not the final level, but like.
Like the last like group of levels though.
Yeah, it was towards the end. I remember that.
That's like when it happened to me too. Yeah. Like when you were getting those weird skull thingies where you had to go around and like R3, those really creepy like skulls with the horns or whatever coming out.
I don't know if that was the same spot.
Okay. That's really all the cons I have too. There's like a few glitches and then I don't know, getting lost every now and then.
Yeah. Oh, and the multiplayer, you know, but that's not really their fault at this point.
And we really can't verify that firsthand either.
I mean, it's not their fault, but I guess it wasn't very good to begin with, which is why no one plays it. So
you mean just it not working?
Yeah, just not being able to play it.
Yeah, that's more on us because, you know, we waited too long.
Yeah, it's also like almost nine years after release.
Yeah, I don't really
expect, unless
it's like an ongoing game like Overwatch or like something like that, I don't really expect it to stay around for,
yeah, I feel,
you know,
like
ever.
Older games used to like have that where it was like, we're going to include multiplayer with these single player games. And I feel like now modern days, it's like they just separate it out. We're like, this is either going to be a multiplayer game or a single player game, and not try to do too much because it ends up being like too much for one development team. I feel like
that's true. So do you want to move on to some sweet strategy?
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure you have a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah. I have like so many things.
All right. So what's something you have?
Okay. The first thing that I would say is to pay attention to the weapon power-ups, because you'll earn weapon power-ups pretty much at the end of each like completed round or whatever. And it's important to go in and level up your weapons and know what the power-ups do. Because I was, like, I was leveling up on my weapons, but I really wasn't reading that closely, like, what they did. And then I got to, like, this really hard boss fight. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm dying so fast. What am I doing wrong? And basically, I was, like, not using any of my power-ups.
Yeah, I mean,
and then I learned about them and I started using them and I was like, wow, this would have been so much easier. It could have been making my life so much easier.
Yeah. I also mentioned in mine, like, the rune challenges, because, you know, you get power-ups from them and, you know, they're fun. They're kind of fun to do them. Like, they'll be like, you know, kill 20 enemies in 20 seconds or something. Mm-hmm. And then you'll get this power-up that you'll take with you for the rest of the game. And then the power-up can be enhanced if you, like, do this challenge within the rune.
Yeah, I should have did more of those. And by more, I mean, like, any of them.
Yeah, any of them. Because, like, at one point you can carry three of those runes with you, so you can, like, it make a pretty big difference.
I could have done a lot of things that would have made my gameplay easier, probably. Yeah. But, you know, you live and you learn.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't have time for that. I was like, I gotta get through this game.
I'm behind. Well, I feel like if you do that too much, you can make the game harder for yourself. And
I definitely
take longer.
Did. Yeah. I definitely did.
All right. So what's another piece of strategy, Nick?
Just keep moving. Never stop.
Keep moving. Yeah.
Never stop. If there's demons around and you gotta fight, just keep moving.
Can't stop, won't stop.
It's just better. It's harder for them to get you if you're just constantly moving.
Yeah, you really do have to keep moving in this game. It's imperative. Like, any, I feel like almost any enemy will just, like, just absolutely destroy you.
If you just stay
stopped the whole time.
Yeah. Once you get the BFG, then
not GFB, BFG.
Yeah, BFG. Sometimes that, like, is crucial because you'll be surrounded. You'll have like 20 demons, like, all around you. You're like, oh my god, I'm gonna die. And then you use that thing and it just, like, kills them all. It's, like,
yeah,
so sweet.
I played on, like, Nightmare, which is pretty tough. And then there's some battles I would struggle with, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna use the BFG in certain circumstances.
Yes.
And it would, like, it make it so much easier. So don't forget about the BFG and the chainsaw are, like, crucial.
Yeah, and they have their own shortcut, which is, I didn't realize. Like, I knew the chainsaw had a shortcut, but I didn't realize the BFG had a shortcut. And I was, like, looking all over for that gun in my little weapon wheel. And yeah. I was trying every gun. And I'm like, none of these are that gun that I just got.
Like,
and I
it?
Was like, where, how do I get to this? And then you finally were like, yeah, you can just press triangle. And it comes up. And I'm like, oh, another thing. And it was like, if I knew, it would have been just... I just make things so hard on myself sometimes.
You just use the gamer strategy of push every button at any given time.
That's true. I need to be better at, like, just trying all the buttons out for sure. But I do make it harder on myself, but it's just the way I game. We all game in different ways. I probably should be on some ADD medication that might help a little bit. But I'm not. And so, you know, it is what it is. I miss some stuff. Some stuff is harder. Some stuff is easier.
Yeah.
What's a piece of strategy that you got for everybody, Eric?
So that BFG, you can use to stun the bosses. Like, those bosses are pretty tough. Like, especially, I feel like the first boss, the Cyber Demon, was probably the toughest one.
Oh, man. Yeah, that guy was so hard.
I feel like the other two weren't that bad. Even the final boss wasn't that bad. But there's one spot in the final boss that kept dying where he has the platforms and then he puts the spikes on the platforms because he electrifies the ground. And I found that, like, using the BFG to stun him, like, was the way to go.
Right at
right
that
there.
Moment.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're just taking
damage
and there's no way out of it. So,
yeah. I think maybe you can go off to the side enough and get around it, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
BFG, just hit him with a gun. Yeah.
And did we already talk about, I mean, we kind of already talked about just, like, looking everywhere. This is a game where you literally have to search every single.
Yeah. Sometimes,
every single,
like,
spot.
A panel on the floor, like, you just need to hover over it. And, like, if you get that, like, interact with button.
So it's just, like, walk around everywhere. Try to go down every hallway, every little thing that might look like a door. Jump on everything, like,
anything that might look like a lever.
Yeah, for sure. Anything else for strategy?
That's all I got.
Yeah, that's all I got too.
I said one about cycle your weapons to conserve ammo, but I feel like I've said it in so many podcast episodes at this point. It's becoming repetitive.
I know. Some stuff is just going to be the same for every type of game. Like every first person shooter, there's going to be staples of strategy.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you've played it before, you probably know. But yeah, it's good to just say some of the obvious stuff sometimes. What if we do have a new person listening to our podcast?
That's true, yeah.
It might help. Maybe it'll help someone out there.
True. All right, so moving to the future of Doom.
Back to the future.
So Doom Eternal, which is a sequel to Doom 2016, came out in 2020.
I'm glad they didn't call it Doom 2.
Doom 2 again. Yeah, that's the last thing we need.
And then
even
we had
more
another
confusion.
Doom 3.
Oh, man, yeah. And then we had Doom Dark Ages came out this year in 2025, which is a prequel to the first Doom game.
Nice.
So I'm glad to see that they kept the momentum after this game because it was a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to playing those games as soon as they go on sale.
Or how much are they right now? Did you look?
No, I haven't checked. But like, I know I picked up Doom 2016 like at, I think, Total Replay or something. And it was only like $10 or $15 or something. Mm-hmm. So like, you can find this game pretty cheap out there. Eventually, I'll find the other games cheap somewhere. It might take 10 years.
It's our new hobby, is trying to find the games that won't go on sale online in real life so we can get a sweet deal.
Exactly. All right. Yeah. And that's what I got for future.
Awesome. Did you know that they're coming out with a telenovela for Doom?
Wow. Really?
Yeah. In like Mexico.
Like a soap opera?
Yeah. I'm just kidding. That would be nuts, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, the demons, like, all having drama and stuff. That actually sounds kind of funny.
You have all the main characters. The Doom guy, demons.
Olivia.
I'm sure
apparently.
Olivia from this game.
Yeah.
That robot guy.
Yeah, you have Gorgor and Lucy.
Gorgor and Lucy.
That are, like, definitely official characters.
They would cause all sorts of drama in the show, I'm sure. All right. So,
Eric, you're probably wondering, like, did I kill 50 demons with a chainsaw?
Yeah, let's find out. Like, did you kill?
And the answer is probably yes.
Probably. So we don't know for sure?
Well, okay, here's the thing, everybody. Me and Eric have different profiles on PlayStation.
It's true, we do.
And normally, Eric will play his games under his profile, and I'll play my games under my profile, like normal, regular, sane people. But for this one, for some reason, you were playing under my profile, and I didn't realize until a little bit into it, the game, where I would have just started a game on your profile so it could be separate. But since you were playing under my profile, all the trophies that you got, like, and I got, are just under one
umbrella
list.
So we together killed 15.
We definitely did, for sure. But it said I got that trophy like the first day I was playing, so I'm pretty sure like that trophy was mostly from you. But yeah, I did use the chainsaw a ton to make sure that I like probably killed 50 guys with it, like, I'm pretty sure. But I didn't know to keep count until after I already killed a bunch and blah blah blah. But yeah, it's all your fault that I don't know, Eric.
Sorry. In my defense, like, you have the main profile for the PlayStation.
That's
so
true.
Like, and I didn't necessarily think you were going to play this game until I picked it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my bad. And then I was like, oh yeah, I guess I kind of like screwed your challenge up.
Yeah, because I realized that once I got some trophy and it was like, you did this on these different modes, and I was like, well, I haven't played this under any different modes. And I was like, oh yeah, all of Eric's games are all on here. I probably have a lot of trophies that I didn't actually earn.
Yeah. All right, so we don't know if you got the challenge or not.
Yeah. I'm like 99.9% sure that I got it, though.
You didn't keep a tally with pen and paper after you found out?
Oh, I should have. I don't know how I would do that because it's too intense. But
yeah, I mean, it's
you're
like,
just going to have to. I think because it's your fault, you should have to rap.
I feel like I feel like you should rap, too, because we don't know for sure.
I know. I did keep a tally. I forgot that I did. I totally did. It's on my phone. For sure.
Okay, well, as long as the tally exists somewhere, I believe you.
Cool, cool, cool. So you'll just be rapping all by yourself.
Unless you want a freestyle one.
Ooh, you want me to freestyle? Let's do it.
My name is Dr. Hayden. I drove all the way from Dayton just to get this shit all straightened. Just let me turn my power on. Now I'm busy innovating, making deals involving Satan. You should leave, time's a wasting, just another hour gone. My interface is still updating, but I see your time's abating. Don't forget to leave a rating. Don't have a glower, mon. Just a seraph who likes baiting. Got a feel for who's been hating. Now I think I should be skating. I think I'll let the shower on.
I'm running through hell. Ooh, what's that smell? Everybody dwell, we all really pale. We gonna go sell some sell. Yeah, I said it, we gonna go tell. No, I'm not a Dell, I'm in a car sale. yeah, all of that as well. I'm gonna lift some barbells and do some barfell and eat some bluebell ice cream. Yeah, that's a great freestyle. Great rap.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That really means a lot to me, Nikki.
Yeah. I'm glad. So everyone's probably wondering what game I'm going to pick next.
Yeah, I'm wondering myself. I have an idea.
Are you wondering? Because I did straight up tell you what I was going to pick.
Well, I'm wondering from the point of view of the audience.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So it's November. It's going to be November.
Yeah.
So after spooky season, for me, comes cozy season.
Yeah, what usually comes after spooky season is the harvest.
Yes. So for me, that means lighting a candle.
Harvesting your grain.
Putting on some cozy pajamas, being on the couch, watching movies, reading books, you know, drinking hot coffee.
Picking your tomatoes before they go bad.
Picking tomatoes, farming, petting all my pets, you know.
Pet all your pets.
But yeah, so November to me is like cozy times. It's like fall. Hopefully the weather will feel like fall finally. And I want to pick a cozy game.
Nice, yeah.
So I'm going to pick Coral Island. You kind of already mentioned that I was playing it earlier in the podcast.
How many hours?
Spoiler.
How many hours would you say you have into Coral Island at this point?
So far, probably... I'm probably close to like 100 hours. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a little like my time in the game is a little skewed because I'll just keep it on pause.
Oh.
Like if I'm working, you know, I might just like...
Yeah, I've definitely done that.
Do a lot of work and then have it on pause and then on my lunch break, play some and then, you know, go back or whatever.
I've definitely done that with some games where I left it paused and then I left it overnight and I come back to it. I'm like, and added like 10 hours or 12 hours to it.
Yeah,
I'm like,
so I think if I looked at my profile, it would probably be a little skewed, but I have put a lot of time into this game. I've been playing it for... like 3 weeks.
How many months or years are you into it in game time?
I think 3 years. I'm like year three. Years. And it's kind of like Stardew Valley where each season is like a month long.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice, yeah.
But I'm excited. We both like cozy games.
Yeah.
Me probably a little bit more than you.
I don't know. I like my fair share of like Stardew Valley, Harvest Moon type games.
Yeah. I just feel like you haven't played a cozy game in a while since we did probably Stardew Valley last time.
Yeah, I've been doing other games. I've been doing RPGs and tactical RPGs and other types of RPGs. A lot of RPGs.
A lot of RPGs, which is fine. That's cool. But so, yeah. So next episode, we're going to do Coral Island. It's a cozy Stardew Valley type of game. And your challenge is going to be, well, it's like a two-parter.
Okay.
First challenge is beat Bobby. Beat Bobby Flay. I'm just kidding. His last name's not Flay, but your rival farmer, his name is Bobby. And you there's like a spring festival, I believe, and you like
beat Bobby.
Compare your crops and stuff, and like you get scored, and yeah, you got to beat him with your with what you
with
bring.
Superior items, crops.
Yes. Like or artesian products or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
And then the second part is you have to complete all the goddess altars.
Ooh.
So, oh, and you can't look it up online, how to beat Bobby.
Okay.
Yeah. You can look up stuff to help you with the goddess altar if you want, but I don't want you to look up how to beat Bobby because I don't want you to be in, like, the first year.
So beat Bobby and then look up on how to beat the goddess.
Complete all the goddess altars.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that sounds fair.
Yeah.
All right.
You can do
just beat the entire game. I think the goddess thing is like you have to collect so many, you know, turnips, like at different levels.
Yeah, it's kind of like the community center.
Almost every item in the game, you have to like donate it to the goddess.
Yeah, it's kind of like the community center from Stardew Valley. Yeah. It has a list of things it wants you to donate or, well, for this, it's like offer because you're getting an offering.
Yeah.
So you got to beat Bobby and unlock or complete all the goddess altars.
And Bobby may or may not be Bobby Flay.
Yeah. He doesn't look like Bobby Flay.
Okay, so he's probably not Bobby Flay.
Probably not. That would be kind of funny, though. Anyways, good luck.
Thank you, Nikki.
All right. Until next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Like this podcast and you like Doom the game, you definitely want to leave us a rating, a review, a comment. Anything to engage with us and our podcast really helps. So that would be awesome. All right. Happy Halloween, everybody. Bye.